Phoenix Audio presents.
I Am Jackie Chan by Jackie Chan with Jeff Yan.
I'm standing in the sky on the roof of a glass and steel office tower in Rotterdam, Holland. There are 21 floors of air between me and the concrete pavement below. I'm about to do what I do best. I'm about to jump. My steadmen tell me that the fall is safe. Well, not safe, but maybe a little less than deadly. Of course, they've only tried the jump from the 16th floor, and as I watch the test footage late at night, alone in our production offices, I'd realize that a 16th floor fall was too predictable, too possible. After all, my producer has been bragging to reporters that this will be the world's most dangerous stunt. And who would I be if I didn't live up to my press? Not Jackie Chan. So, against the advice of my director and my co-stars and the executives at the studio, I have decided to add 5 stories to the stunt. That's 60 more feet of very thin air through which my 45-year-old body will be sliding. A few more seconds of excitement for the cameras, a few more screams from an audience starving for adrenaline. The formula is simple. The more terrified my friends and family are, the more satisfied my fans will be. And they mean everything to me. They come to the theaters hungry for a hero, for someone who can laugh at disaster, who can make funny faces at death, someone who can show them for real that the only thing to fear is fear itself. But whoever said that never stood on a roof in Rotterdam. He never looked down over the edge of a skyscraper to see a foam target 250 feet below. Sorry to contradict you, Mr. Whoever, but the only things to fear are fear itself and hitting the ground at 100 miles per hour with nothing between you and the emergency room but a few inches of foam rubber. I'm tired. My heart feels like a rock in my chest. My body screams at me about the abuse I put it through over the last 4 decades. Parts of me I can't even pronounce are complaining about how badly I've treated them. And despite the mob of extras milling around the base of the building, hundreds of Dutch Marines and firefighters and police looking nervously up at the sky, I think to myself, is this jump really necessary? But the answer is there as soon as I ask the question. Yes. Because this jump is special. It isn't just for the fans and the critics and the box office charts. This one is for the man who made it possible for me to stand here today, aching and shivering in the spotlight. This is for my master, Yu Yimyuan, who was buried a week ago in Los Angeles. I remember a frightened 7-year-old walking into the dark and musty hall of the China Drama Academy holding his father's hand. Inside, he sees young boys and girls leaping and tumbling and screaming. Paradise. How long do you want to stay here, Jackie? Forever, answered the boy, his eyes bright and wide, and he lets go of his father to clutch at the hem of his master's robe. For the next 10 years, I sweated and cried and bled under master's hands. I cursed his name when I went to sleep at night, and I swallowed my fear and hatred of him when I woke in the morning. He asked for everything we had, and we gave it to him, under pain of injury or even death. But when we came of age, we realized he'd given it all back, with interest. It was Master Yu Yimyuan who created Jackie Chan, and I do what I do today, I am what I am today, because of him. And so this leap is in his memory, a final act of gratitude, a last gesture of defiance. Someone slaps me on the back, asks me if I'm ready. I nod, barely understanding. Another voice calls for quiet on the set, and suddenly the only sound is the wind and the blood rushing in my ears and my heart beginning to pound like a giant drum. Camera, rolling, action! And I suck in my churning stomach, launch myself into the sky. I fly. I remember. I was born on April 7th, 1954, the only son of Charles and Lily Chan. They named me Chan Kong Song, which means born in Hong Kong Chan. I guess my parents weren't very original when it came to names. By the Chinese calendar, 1954 was the year of the horse. According to superstition, the horse is a sign of energy, ambition, and success. And my parents were happy that I came into the world under such a fortunate sign. Of course, my arrival in the year of the horse was hardly a coincidence. Actually, it took an awful lot of stubbornness on my part to pull it off. Most babies are born 9 months after being conceived. I, on the other hand, stuck around an extra 3 months until my mother was forced to go to a surgeon to bring me into the world, kicking and screaming by cesarean section. Maybe it was my rebellious streak that made me refuse to join my parents on time, or maybe it was a premonition of what my future would hold. After all, while comfortably inside my mother, I had privacy, sleep, and all the food I could ever ask for without having to fight or work or suffer. In fact, I can honestly say that those 3 extra months were the easiest time of my life. Nothing like that waited for me in the world outside. Hong Kong in the 50s was a hard and restless place, and my family's position there was at the very bottom of the social ladder among the thousands of destitute migrants who'd fled to the British colony after the mainland's communist revolution. Still, as poor as we were, we felt lucky to have survived China's civil war, and especially grateful that my parents had good jobs in the strange new society of the island. Many of our fellow refugees had arrived in Hong Kong with nothing but the clothes on their back and the memories of what they had left behind. They lived in shacks in the island's crowded ghettos, making paper flowers and cheap trinkets to survive, or turning to less socially accepted and more dangerous pursuits. We managed to be among the lucky ones. Soon after coming to the island, my father and mother had found employment with the French ambassador to Hong Kong, a kind gentleman with a warm and caring family. Dad became the ambassador's cook and handyman. My mother was the housekeeper.